I'm Karen Hartglass, and you're listening to It's All About Food. Repeat after me. It's all about food. And when you go through the next hour, you're going to agree with me, if you don't already, that it is indeed all about food. How are you on this August 5th, 2014? We've got a nice 88 degrees Fahrenheit here in New York City. And, you know, I'm not even feeling it. It's just been so lovely. It's been one of the best summers ever here in New York. Not sure why, but I'm not complaining. I'm loving it. Now, before we get going with my first guest, I wanted to tell you the great news. Responsible Eating and Living, my nonprofit organization, has apps. We've got apps. So if you go to the homepage and scroll down on the right side where the widgets are, you can find the iPhone and iPad apps on the Apple Store. There's a link there, and we have an Android app. And this way you don't have to put in responsibleeatingandliving.com because it's delicious, I know, and nutritious, but it's kind of heavy to write. So we've got apps. I'm very excited about that, and check it out. Okay, first guest up, Matt Ball. He is the author of many essays and several books, including The Animal Activist Handbook, and now the new one, The Accidental Activist. In 2005, he was inducted into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame, and he has done so much for this planet and for animals, and I want to welcome him to It's All About Food. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Hi, Karen. I'm great. It's an honor to be with you today.
Yes, it is. So let's just sit in that honor for a moment. Oh, you've done so much for so long. How do you keep going?
Well, I've been honored to work with a lot of great people over the years. I draw a lot of inspiration from my friends and coworkers. So it's just been a great ride.
All right, I read your book, and I got a few things out of it, and one thing is you've learned a lot over the years.
Right, I mean, I've made a lot of mistakes. I was an angry kid in college when I found out about factory farming, and I basically acted out of anger for a long time instead of acting out of what would be the best way to create change in the world.
And what is the best way, in your humble opinion?
In my humble opinion, it's trying to reach people where they are, instead of starting where we want them to be. And it's basic psychology. If you tell people to do something, they don't want to do that.
We're all 3 years old in our bodies, right?
Right. You know, we're all invested in this inner monologue that we have, that we're good people. And so if you tell people that what they're doing is bad and everything they've done is bad for years, they're not going to want to believe that. They're going to be invested in making you the issue, and to try to protect their ego, their idea of them being a good person. But the point isn't about who's a good person and who's a bad person. The point is about trying to make a difference in the world, given that most people don't know what goes on in factory farms. If we can help people understand this, then they can make more informed choices in going forward, as opposed to telling people that they're bad and what they're doing is bad.
All right. First thing you just said, you think that people don't know what's going on in factory farms. And I find that hard to believe today.
It is hard to believe, but I hear from activists all the time who say, you know, I was on a college campus today, or I was leafleting at a farmer's market, and somebody came back to me and said, I had no idea what was going on, you know, or they said, you know, I thought it was bad, but I had no idea it was this bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the best story I ever heard was, my wife and I were holding a sign once that said, "Stop eating animals." And a woman said, "Who eats animals?"
Oh, gosh. Yeah, right. I eat steak and right. Uh-huh. Who eats animals? Well, did she learn something from you, too?
Actually, her daughter pulled her aside and said, talk to her. So it was very amusing.
So, oh, sad and amusing. Well, yeah, you know, people may not know, but I think many don't know because they don't want to know.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, it's much easier to not know, to be able to go along with everything you've done growing up, what your family does, what your friends do, what your habits are, what your traditions are. I mean, it's not an easy thing to change. And it's a problem for people like me who have been vegan for a long time. You know, to me, it's very easy. To me, it is my habits, it's my traditions and everything. And it's hard to remember what it was like 25 years ago, 27 years ago, when I first learned about these things. And I didn't want to change. I didn't want to know. When I first went vegetarian, I thought I was starving. I had no idea what I was doing. And I went back to eating meat because I thought it was safer. I thought it was, the safest thing to do, the most known thing to do. So I went through everything that I see people going through now when they see a video online or when they get a booklet or when they go to see a documentary. They don't want to know, or they don't have any idea what to do next.
All right, let's talk about this key word, anger. There's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of anger with vegetarians and vegans amongst themselves. What are we going to do about this?
Well, I think the first thing to realize is that it's entirely understandable. I mean, it's an entirely human reaction to be angry when you see what goes on in factory farms, and when you see what goes on in slaughterhouses, and then when you are faced with indifference or people who just don't want to know. So it's entirely understandable. It's entirely human to be angry. The difficult thing for me that literally took me years was to get over the anger instead of arguing with people or fighting with people or even fighting with other vegetarians or other animal rights people who didn't view things exactly like I do. That's the easiest way to deal with things, is to just go with the anger. But if we really want to make a difference, we have to step back from the anger, because people don't react constructively to anger in general. And
they don't.
And it's the carrot and the stick. You're not going to beat many people into becoming a vegetarian or becoming vegan. But it's just, it's hard to take people where they are when you so badly want them to be where you are, because that's, then there will be fewer animal suffering. So I totally and completely understand the urge to say, you have to be vegan, you have to be vegan, you have to be vegan, because that's, what we've decided is the best course for us and for the animals. But that's not the best way for getting people to take the first step towards helping animals, which is what everyone has to do. Everyone has to take the first step, instead of us insisting on them taking the last step. I mean, the longest journey starts with the first step.
Now, I don't want to focus too much on everything in the vegetarian movement that's ugly, but just another moment, and then we'll get back to the real ugliness on the planet. And that is, there seem to be two factions, where there are the all-or-nothing abolitionist people, and then there are the welfareists. And your book gives the reasons why it's important to move in small steps.
Well, it's not really important to move in small steps. I mean, it would be great if we could get big steps. It's just not the way the world works. I went for years wanting the big steps, wanting everything done right now, and the key to creating real change. And it was obvious if I would just start back on how I evolved over time. I evolved in fits and starts over the course of years. And yet once I was vegan for a while, I wanted everyone to go vegan overnight, even though that's not even how it happened with me. And it's not how it happens for a lot
for
of
many
my
people.
Friends.
Mm-hmm.
I actually know more people who went vegan overnight who went back to eating meat than I know people who went vegan overnight and stayed vegan.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, who should read The Accidental Activist?
Well, I think anyone who's interested in in being an activist for the animals, would find something in it of use. I mean, there are essays that I've written over the last 20 decades, and then there are essays by seven other people as well that bring in their unique perspective on things. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people, from new people and from longtime people who enjoy it. When Bruce Friedrich and I wrote the Animal Activist Handbook, we wrote it more like a textbook, a linear argument, starting from first principles and working it down to specifics in activism. So that's more of a, that book is more of a how-to book. And then my wife, Ann Green, wanted a more personal book for the second book, which is why it's a collection of essays that stand on their own instead of tearing it apart and trying to work it into another linear narrative. So, and if you want the how-to of activism starting from first principles, then the book I wrote with Bruce Friedrich, The Animal Activist Handbook, is probably the better place to start. But The Accidental Activist is more personal. A lot of times people react better to stories.
Yep.
And something personal, how something happened for another human being, as opposed to a linear textbook type narrative. So the Accidental Activist is much more of a personal narrative, personal story.
All right, personal story. You've raised a daughter as a vegan, and she's in college now. There must be a few stories there.
Ellen is really great. I have to admit, when Ann and I got married, I thought it was just a course of nature, a rite of passage that all children rebel against their parents, and everyone warned us, you know, oh, she's going to want to eat meat and like in the future, but she never has. She's just a great kid, and we've always tried to be honest with her at an age appropriate level. All through these 20 years. And I think that she's always respected that and understood that we're being honest with her, as opposed to forcing her to do something because it's what we say to do. And I think that really resonates with her. And I think it's interesting. Her life shows the power of example. I mean, she's influenced a lot of her friends over the years to stop eating chicken or to go vegetarian, and sometimes she didn't even know this. She was in line at a concession stand at a track meet when she was in seventh grade, and the best runner on the team was in eighth grade and was in front of her with a friend, and she ordered like a pretzel or something. And the friend said, "Don't you want a chicken sandwich or something?" And I don't remember her name, but the best runner said, "No, I'm a vegetarian." And Ellen said, "Oh, really? You're a vegetarian too?" Or "I am too," or something like that. And the girl turned around and said, "Well, yeah, you're the reason I'm a vegetarian." And, you know, Ellen didn't even know this. So it's really, it's a good story of the power that we set as our example, even if we don't necessarily know it or if we don't necessarily get the feedback right away.
Wow, that is a good one. I love that. And it is, it does show how important it is to follow our beliefs and live them and be an example.
And be an example of someone that other people would like to be like. And if we're just angry and misanthropic.
Not a good example.
It's not going to cause a lot of people to say, "Ooh, I want to be like that. No going to parties, always angry with people. That's looking good."
Okay, now semantics here. There seems to be some issues whether we do our work with using the word vegan or using the word vegetarian.
Well, I think it really depends on the audience. 20 years ago, pretty much no one had heard the word vegan in the general public. And as time went on, vegan kind of became a joke line in comic strips and the like.
It still is.
It still is, but there are audiences, there are places where the word vegan is now something that's interesting or is intriguing to people. It's not something that makes people say, "Ugh, veganism." They're like, "Oh, yeah, you know, my friend so-and-so is a vegan, but I don't think I could ever do it. And then, you know, being there as an example or having the stories there, you can tell them about how you changed or what things they can try is useful. Now, in other audiences, you're just going to get people saying, no, I could never be vegan, and that's it. And the word vegetarian often is a better way to get people interested in considering the issues at hand. And since the majority of people evolve, they take the first step and they give up this, and they take the second step and they give up this, and then they take the third step and they give up the next thing to become vegetarian, it's not as though we have to be standing at the far distance from them at the pure veganism thing. We can move over towards them and help them start by taking that first step. So it really depends on your audience. It depends on the society you're in, I think, to determine which word works best.
Now, you talk about in your book that some of the things that we may do actually may cause more harm to animals when we think that we're doing some good. And one of them is when people decide to stop eating red meat, they go towards what I like to call the feathered vegetable and the scaly vegetable, chicken and fish, and that can actually do even more harm.
Oh, yes, absolutely. The Nick Cooney, in his book Veganomics, he looks at the biggest study that went over people's food choices and found that people who give up red meat eat 60% more chicken, and they also eat more fish. And since it takes about 250 chickens to provide the same number of meals as one steer, and you're causing 250 times more animals to die. But even more than that is that chickens suffer amazingly and unbelievably in factory farms, and they've been bred so that they're in pain the whole last part of their lives. They grow so fast that their joints cannot take the weight. And I don't want to go into all the horrors of factory farms, but chickens and laying hens have the absolute worst situations out there. And if we do anything that causes anyone to eat more chickens, then we're causing more suffering.
And personally, I don't think they're any healthier than meat. There may be a few little things in red meat that are worse than chicken, but overall, in the grand scheme of things, it's not good food for us to be eating.
And there are a lot of things about since chickens are raised so intensively and they're given so many antibiotics and there's so much contamination with chicken that there's a whole other range of health issues associated with chickens. So a lot of people who make the health argument now for vegetarianism are not saying, you know, red meat this, red meat that. They're pointing out all the health issues that come with eating chicken, because unfortunately, chicken is considered a healthy food, or at least a healthy alternative, by society as a whole. So we have to point out to people how unhealthy chicken really is.
That's right. So you've been doing this for decades now, and what's next for you in your activism?
Well, it's an interesting question, and I don't really know, because the world is such a different place now than when I went vegetarian 27 years ago. And we've learned so much, and you know, activism has evolved immensely over the years. So I'm not exactly sure where I fit in at this particular point. But I do want, you know, what I want to do is I want to continue to inspire people to pursue effective activism that makes a real difference in the world, and to raise money to fund people doing effective activism.
Because it is all about money. It is all about money.
Yeah, and we're really limited by the amount of money we have, because the more money we have, the more people we can reach through documentaries, through online ads, through booklets, through humane education. Because there are a lot more people out there who would do this work if they had the opportunity than we're able to fund at this time.
That's right. Well, Matt, thank you for speaking with me today on It's All About Food, and all the best with the Accidental Activist. And you can visit Matt Ball at his blog, A Meaningful Life, A Better World, mattball.org.
Thanks very much, Karen.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.